Among the many revelations of the hearings looking into events surrounding September 11th is that spies have human faces. Until now, Americans have often had to rely on the movies to explain what spying's all about. Our entertainment commentator, Elvis Mitchell, movie critic for the New York Times, joins us from New York. Elvis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
What do the best spy movies have in common?
I think they're really about devotion and patriotism, really. I think that's what most of them were about for a long time. We didn't even go back to the spy movies of the 30s and 40s. They were really sort of about keeping the Nazis out of the United States and keeping us all safe from that threat.
Well, let's go now to a clip from Alfred Hitchcock's famous movie Notorious. Cary Grant, who plays an agent, reminds Ingrid Bergman, who portrays the daughter of a Nazi sympathizer, that her loyalties really rest with the West.
No, thank you. I don't go for patriotism or patriots.
I'd like to dispute that with you.
Waving the flag with one hand and picking pockets with the other. That's your patriotism.
We've had your bungalow wired for 3 months. Conversation between John Huberman and daughter Alicia, 6:30 p.m. January the 9th, 1946 at Miami Beach, Florida. Some of the evidence that wasn't used at the trial.
I don't want to hear that.
Relax, hardboard, and listen.
And I love this country, do you understand that? I see you all hanged before I wave a finger against it. So help me, I'll turn you in. Don't ever come near me or speak to me again about your rotten scheme. Well, that doesn't prove much. I didn't turn him in.
We didn't expect you to. Well, what do you say?
Fighting Nazis and finding love.
Story of my life.
Inevitably, we have to talk about James Bond movies. And it's often pointed out that Ian Fleming began to write the James Bond books when Britain was reeling from its series of spy scandals.
It's funny because they became more about design, and Americans were interested in the threats that were coming from without. We want to feel like there's a spy network that could protect us and also show that it was capable of really being devoted to our best interests at heart. And that's what the really interesting ones are about.
Okay, we have a clip. Q explained to the original James Bond, of course, Sean Connery, what his new car is able to do for him.
Now, this one I'm particularly keen about. You see the gear lever here? Now, if you take the top off, you'll find a little red button. Whatever you do, don't touch it.
Now, why not?
Because you'll release this section of the roof and engage and fire the passenger ejector seat.
Ejector seat? You're joking.
I never joke about my work, 007.
Goldfinger, when it just became to be a bit more about the weaponry, when Sean Connery is about to be filleted by a laser. You kind of wonder where the British economy got the money to make all that stuff with after a while. But because those movies were really, for a long time, too, built around the cult of personality, which is to say Sean Connery's incredibly charismatic performance, then that the movies weren't overwhelmed by the weaponry. But It's now become what all spy movies are about, weapons. And to the extent that now all spy movies that come out of America are parodistic.
You can almost begin to trace spy stories back to British literature in the 30s. Somerset Maugham, Graham Greene took up the cudgels then. Spy stories have probably done more for British cinema than, or almost as much as Catherine Zeta-Jones in recent years. And I can think of a number of examples. I particularly like The Spy Who Came In from the Cold.
The British drama is always about the kind of emotional complication and compromise that come from basically trying to lead dual lives. And the guilt that grows out of that, that kind of central kind of self-identity and lack thereof, and how that related to a job that basically consists of your lying to get information to keep your country afloat.
Yeah. We do have a clip, providentially, for the BBC did what's now a pretty famous adaptation of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, series of stories, interrelated stories built around the character George Smiley, portrayed in this BBC production by Alec Guinness.
You haven't perhaps been using your star for any special jobs lately, have you? Either at home or abroad. I mean the kind of special jobs which, for good reasons of security, you haven't felt able to mention in your return.
Who would I do that for, George?
Well, if Percy Allerline, for example, ordered you to do something and not recorded.
What sort of something?
Clear a foreign letterbox, prime a safe house, watch someone's back, spike an embassy. It's all lamplighter work.
You are often left with the impression, watching this kind of spy drama, that the spies themselves have more in common, whether they work for the West or the East, behind the Iron Curtain, on the other side of the Iron Curtain, than they do with even their own countrymen.
Absolutely. It's about that kind of insularity and competitiveness. And what's kind of missing, and I'm waiting for somebody to do that now, especially in American fiction or American drama, is to find a way to play that stuff out in narrative terms, to play out a kind of patriotism while asking questions about that.
Well, groovy, baby. Is that understood?
I'm afraid so, Scott.
Elvis, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott. I'm just going to fluff your chest hair now. You just go ahead.
My Charles of the Ritz chest wig. Elvis Mitchell, movie critic for the New York Times and our entertainment critic here on Weekend Edition. Austin Powers.